Hey guys, it's June 30th, 2020, Daniel Schreiner, and it was Jeff's idea a few months ago to do a series of episodes on sanctification using Jerry Bridges' book, The Discipline of Grace. This episode is based on the chapter of Bridges' book entitled Transformed into His Likeness. And so I thought, was trying to think, who is the most Christ-like person in our congregation that I can interview? And after extensive research, I came up with Adrienne Lawrence. She will hate me for saying that. But I wanted to get a woman leader in our church, and I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation. Welcome back, good listeners. This is Daniel Schreiner here in the studio, aka the fourth floor. And today we are joined by special guest Adrienne Lawrence. Adrienne, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Daniel.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. How are you doing? How's the Lawrence family holding up?
Well, we're doing okay. The word I use to describe our time in quarantine is bittersweet. So there have been some sweet family times, but also, like for everybody, just some hard, bitter times, like a bitter pill sometimes. Some times of mourning, lost opportunities, seeing more of our own sinfulness.
And lots of opportunity for that as you have, most of the time, you've had all the kids back, right? So all five kids at home.
We've had all five kids at home, and we currently have Ashley, who's Christian's girlfriend, with us as well. So so eight of us in the house.
Wow. Yeah. So it's nice that the weather is warming up so that you can sometimes escape and get out, get some time alone.
Yes. Good. That's been nice for everybody. Yeah. But it's also lent to a few more family trips than we probably would have taken.
Sure.
Together.
Sure. Good. Well, this church loves you guys, and we are excited to hear from you today, specifically on this ongoing conversation that Jeff and I mainly have been having, but we're really excited to have you here today to talk about sanctification, a little bit about what that's looked like in your life and how you have thought through this subject matter. So today we're thinking about being transformed into the likeness of Christ, and so that's what we're going to be thinking about today. And I'm just going to start off with 2 Corinthians 3:18. And I just would be curious to know what that has meant to you, or what that means to you when you look at this verse. I'll go ahead and read it.
Sure.
We all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Well, when I think about that verse, I particularly focus on the phrase that we are being transformed. And to me, that's just a great promise that this is something that the Spirit is doing in the life of a Christian. So this is something the Holy Spirit is doing in my life, and I can depend on Him to carry out this work in my life. And that's a real encouragement to me. And then when I'm being transformed from the image from glory to glory. So I should be transformed more into the image of God, in the image of Christ.
That's really helpful. I know from my own experience that can be a difficult experience, a frustrating one. We often wonder why the transformation is so slow, and sometimes it feels like one step forward, two steps back, at least in my own experience.
No, that's definitely true. I think for myself, I kind of take the long view. I think all of us know somebody in our life who's a believer, who's elderly. And though on the outside, they might not seem attractive to the world, their character is so attractive to us that we want to be like them. I want to be one of those old people someday. So that's kind of, I try not to worry as much about today or last week, but I think about, what do I want to be when I'm 80 years old if the Lord gives me that much life?
That's a really helpful perspective. And one of the blessings about being here at Hinson is I feel like we have a number of those people that we
yes.
could name.
Yes, we do.
Who we can strive to be like.
Mm-hmm. And they are. They're models for me of what I want to be like.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So any other thoughts on just kind of what transformation maybe more practically has looked like in your life as you think about your process of sanctification?
So when I look forward, I think about wanting to be one of those older people that has that character. But then when I look back, I can see the way the Lord has worked. And that also encourages me that the Spirit's been at work. So a couple of the idols that I have struggled with over time would be anxiety and control, you know, two very linked idols. And as over time, what I have seen is the Lord grow me in both of those areas. So I've seen myself grow in trust rather than giving into my anxieties. When it comes to control, rather than trying to control the people or situations around me, I've seen myself respond more and more in faith. It doesn't mean I'm still not beset by those two idols, but it means I've seen some growth in those areas.
Those are two really helpful. I appreciate you naming those specifics. I think a number of us struggle with those in particular, especially during these days.
Yes, and it certainly has brought them up, so all the more opportunities to battle against them.
So how have you thought about that, though? You know, it's often easy to identify, okay, this is maybe not easy to identify, but the Lord reveals to us, this is an area, like a sin area in my life. This is a struggle. Mm-hmm. Do you let go, let God? What are some of the, are you making effort in this process of sanctification and transformation? Or what have been some of the means the Lord has used, maybe in those two areas of control and anxiety in particular for you?
Right. So, I can't let go and let God, because in one sense, I think that would mean sort of taking my eyes off the ball, and it would just, those two things would creep up in new areas and I'd be really unaware of them. So I think what you said, the first thing is just being aware of where am I tempted to rely on myself rather than to depend on the Lord or to have faith in the Lord. So identifying those two areas. And then I think just being in the Word and being in prayer. I know we say these things a lot, but I know that when I am more and more in Scripture, or when I am attentively listening to the sermons, that the Holy Spirit uses that in my life to bring a particular scripture to mind. So when I'm fighting anxiety, for instance, the Holy Spirit then has fuel. He has something to bring to mind to help me to cope with the anxiety. The more I'm in the Word, the more the Holy Spirit will bring those passages to my mind. Or conversely, when I am in a place where I'm really struggling with anxiety, going to the Word, particularly for me, going to the Psalms, has been really helpful. So I can't underestimate how powerful the being in the Word regularly. But of course, not depending on being in the Word for my sanctification, but allowing that to be a means that the Spirit can use to bring about sanctification.
Yeah, I appreciate that distinction. And we're recording this, by the way, on Thursday, June the 11th. And we just heard from Neil from Psalm 62 this last Sunday, really encouraging sermon. And I appreciate every time we're brought back to preaching the truth, the gospel to ourselves, which is, you know, I think he might have even used that Martin Lloyd-Jones quote where we're so prone to just listen to ourselves, listen to the lies of the enemy, the lies of our own flesh. And if you have that resource of the truth and the promises of God's word ready to do battle against those lies, I mean, it's, as you were talking through it, it kind of just made me like, how despairing and discouraging to be on your own and have no truth to do battle, especially in, as we keep on saying, in days like today,
when
there's so much confusion, so much uncertainty, so much unknown, so much injustice.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that we don't struggle, but we have we have something in the struggle. Yes, yeah. We have the Lord to rely on and depend on. Yeah, and the Lord even used Neil's sermon on Sunday, you know, that sermon on rest and his reminder to rest to help me deal with some of my anxieties.
Praise God. That's great. Well, when did that, when did this become a reality for you, Adrian? I think of, again, 2 Corinthians, fast forwarding to chapter 5. Earlier I read from chapter 3, but the well-known verse, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. When did that new creation become a reality for you in your story?
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody's story, some parts of our story are all the same, right? Recognizing we're a sinner, depending on Christ's work on the cross for forgiveness of our sin. Those parts of our story are all the same, but the particular ways the Lord works that out is different. And for me, there was a day in which I was an old creation and I became a new creation. I didn't grow up hearing the gospel. My mother in high school brought me to a church that was preaching the gospel. So I heard it clearly for the first time. I spent months kind of resisting and wrestling against the gospel. Over time, even as an unbeliever, I was convicted that it was true. I knew it was true, but I was just resisting submitting to it. And finally, one day, I was confronted by a woman in the church gently who encouraged me, if I knew it was true, to submit myself to the Lord, to repent of my sins and trust in Christ and his work on the cross. And I did that. And that is the day it became a new creation in Christ.
So you were in high school?
I was in high school.
Okay.
Yes.
And you said your mom, that you weren't a church-going family?
So we were a church-going family.
Oh, okay.
But we were going to a very liberal Methodist church. They did not use the Bible on Sunday mornings in their message in any way. In fact, I thought that the entirety of John 3:16 is that for Christ died, and that was it. He died. And I never asked, why did he die?
Yeah.
What happened after he died? I just, I knew he died on the cross,
yeah.
And that's it. I actually did not know about the resurrection.
Okay, yeah.
Or the purpose for his death.
Sure, sure. But you went, but you went to a church where you heard the Bible preached, and that's when you think the
Holy Spirit. Yeah. So in high school, my mom had an experience of really her faith being reawakened, and she realized that she couldn't stay in this church that was not preaching the gospel anymore. So she brought me to a different church that was preaching the gospel.
Oh, praise the Lord!
So yes, it was. It was very encouraging, and I'm always trying to encourage pastors that you have no idea what high schoolers' lives might be transformed by your preaching the word faithfully.
That's a really good word. So do you, not to put you on the spot, but do you remember the day, the date?
Well, I don't remember the exact day, but it was in July.
Okay.
I do remember that.
Okay. And what did you feel like a radically new person in July of that year when you became a Christian?
I actually did. So I know not everybody has this experience, but I did feel this indwelling of the Holy Spirit and this incredible joy and this great weight being lifted. I think about Pilgrim's Progress when Christian comes to the foot of the cross, and there was this experience kind of like that for me. Now, I wish I could say it remained, and it's all been uphill since then. But I think that was just a unique and special gift that the Lord gave me to help to confirm my faith.
That's wonderful. Yeah, what a gift. And then, you know, anything to add about, you know, when the Lord makes us a new creation, he begins his sanctifying work by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Were there any evidences that maybe especially encouraged you, maybe early on or as you went on in your life, of the Holy Spirit's work in your life?
Yes, I think early on, at first I became a Christian because I was just convinced that the gospel was true and that yeah, that God was in control, you know, that he had made me in his image, that I needed to commit myself to following him. But I wasn't as focused on the idea that I was a sinner. I definitely repented of my sins, but that wasn't really what drew me to the gospel at first. But then it was over time, as I carried on in high school, that I became more and more aware of my sin, and more aware of what it meant to follow Christ. So particularly, I think about really submitting and honoring my parents. That became something as a high schooler that I needed to come to grips with. I needed to repent of when I wasn't doing it, and I needed to work on it, and work on doing it more and more. So that was in high school. Then now having kids, that's a great opportunity where the Lord really showed me how selfish I was, where he really grew my patience, grew my willingness to love and serve people who aren't always lovely to serve.
Yeah, and we never find those, some of the time we don't find those circumstances pleasant.
No.
but we can look back and see how the Lord was sanctifying us through those,
yes,
those circumstances.
Yes, sometimes it comes through difficult circumstances or times of hardship or times of suffering. I think there have been some times of suffering in my life where I thought I wasn't growing at all. All I was doing is kind of clinging to Christ and making it through that time of suffering. Mm-hmm. And then I'll look back and realize, oh, the Lord really was growing me during that time. And that's always encouraging.
Yeah, I hope that's a particular point of encouragement for you, listener. If you're going through a time of suffering and you just feel like you just like are hanging on by your fingernails to the promises of Christ and wondering, maybe sometimes despairing that you're not doing more. Mm-hmm. I think that can be maybe especially in our circles or in a church like this with so many faithful servants of the Lord, it can be easy to compare yourself to others and think, I need to be doing more.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Yep. And I think it's been really in times of suffering, times of suffering and times of temptations where I've had to speak the gospel most clearly to myself. Because that's when you can feel most alone and isolated.
Yeah. I know we've talked about this a good bit at Hinson, but even just within the last couple of weeks, I was talking to a church member who I really respect and is very godly and knows the Word, and he was just making the point that he so appreciates the gospel and every sermon kind of for the non-Christian. Mm-hmm. And I think we often think about that, and we've talked about that here on this podcast a good bit, that the gospel is for kind of the non-Christian. But maybe would you speak a little bit to how the gospel is necessary for the Christian and for sanctification? Does that question make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, actually, I mean, we talk a lot at Hinson, right, about speaking the gospel to yourself. And I don't know when or where I first started doing that, but I find it almost essential to my Christian life to speak that. And it's not like I have to rehearse the whole gospel to myself every time. But it's more that I have to apply the gospel promises of God to myself in various situations. So, for instance, if I am just despairing because the Lord has revealed sin to me in my life, and I'm despairing, and sometimes I even doubt, like, am I really a believer? Because, you know, I'll think, I really don't love people the way that I should. How can I really be a believer if I don't love people? You know, and then Satan will start to kind of sow these doubts, like, are you really a Christian? You don't love people. And that's when I have to speak the gospel. And I have to say, you know, Christ died for me when I was a sinner, when I did not love him. Mm-hmm. And he is promising that he is at work transforming me. And part of that transformation is that he is revealing that I don't love people. And because of his work on the cross, I can repent of that sin.
Yeah, yeah.
So those kinds of things. Or when I'm really suffering and I think, where is God? Does he even care about me? Does he even know? That's when I'll particularly look at what Christ suffered on the cross. Mm. And I'll think, this is what he allowed his son to go through. And so he does know about my suffering as well, and he has a good purpose for that suffering. Mm. So those are the different ways. I actually almost every day am telling myself the gospel in my head, you know?
Yeah. No, I really appreciate you sharing those examples and how the gospel applies, not just to our justification, but our ongoing walk with Christ, our ongoing transformation into his likeness. I think functionally, and this is really true, even in a well-taught church like ours, I know I can fall into thinking like the gospel was for my justification, mm-hmm. and now I need to move on from the elementary truths mm-hmm. To the deeper things. So
right.
be, you know, more of a Bible scholar and know about the different doctrines of like Calvinism and creationism mm-hmm. and all these other, you know, and know the books of the Bible and have scripture memorized. So anything else that you don't have to share anything else, mm-hmm. but any other way that you see that connection between the gospel that saves us and then the gospel that is God is using to transform us into his likeness, like any way that you help kind of keep those together?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it is that same gospel, right? Mm-hmm. And you're talking about those deeper truths, you know, like Calvinism or creation or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in one sense, that is all part of mm-hmm. God's story. And so the more we're delving into Scripture, the more the beauty and the glory of the Lord ought to be evident and ought to, and it ought to be pointing to the gospel and Christ's work. Yeah.
Yeah. And, no, that's good. That's helpful.
So I guess those deeper truths shouldn't move us away from the gospel. They should be moving us more and more towards the gospel.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And because sometimes we use those other doctrines, like we talked about, or other things in the Christian life, as to then assume the gospel.
You assume the gospel, or sometimes we can use them as a way to distract ourselves
right.
from the gospel. In fact, I was mm-hmm. talking to somebody just recently who said they ran into somebody who's kind of very interested in end times mm-hmm. and kind of getting mm-hmm. caught up in that. Mm-hmm. And so we can get caught up in end times, or even like for our circles, we can get caught up in Calvinism and the particular doctrines of Calvinism of where we all stand, and to distract ourselves
right.
from the gospel rather than to bring us more deeply to appreciate what Christ did for us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really helpful. And it doesn't even have to be doctrines, but it can be ministries of the church that can cause us to forget the gospel and not make the gospel the most important thing.
Yes. I think if you ask me when I was a younger Christian, how did I know I was sanctified? It would be, because I'm so involved in the church, or because I've just recently had a gospel conversation with my friend, or it would be things that I've done. And now as an older Christian, my confirmation, I guess, of sanctification has to do much more with the sin that the Lord's revealing in my life and my repenting of sin and my trusting in Christ rather than things that I do in the church.
That's a kind of a great transition to what I wanted to talk about next, which was this kind of ongoing battle of between the flesh and the spirit. One of the first scriptures that at least I think of is Romans 7.
Mm-hmm.
But also Galatians 5:17 gets at this. For the mm-hmm. flesh desires what is against the spirit, and the spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. And there's a similar verse in Romans 7:18. So we've already talked about this a little bit, but you know, anything that you have found helpful personally as you kind of feel that battle between the flesh and the spirit raging inside of you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I find those passages in scripture really encouraging, because I think if we didn't have verses like that, I would really despair. Like, am I a Christian? Is the spirit really at work within me? But just, I think those passages remind us that our process of sanctification isn't going to be just an upward trajectory, but it's more like a jagged line that we should expect kind of up and down times, because the old man still is at work in us and we're still battling against the old man. And so recognizing that it is a battle. And when I fail in a particular area, I need to repent quickly, and that I also need to battle. I need to take those hard steps even when I don't want to. And then I need to find people to support and join with me in the battle. So it's just not me on my own. But I have to have friends who I'm asking to pray for me, and friends who I'm telling what my particular struggles are, so they can encourage and challenge me and hold me accountable.
Yeah. So to go back to what you said just a little bit ago, where maybe before, as a younger Christian, you put your kind of your hope, or you would point to evidences of God's work in you by looking, well, I'm involved in this in my church and things. But, you know, on the other hand, what you're saying is that God does use those as means to remind you of to press on in the fight.
Yes. Yeah. So as much as I can't point to my involvement in a local church to say that's evidence that I'm a believer or growing in Christ, I would be kind of at sea without the local church helping me in my sanctification. And I think that goes from everything I mentioned earlier, from listening to the sermons and trying to apply them to my own life, to knowing people and being known by people in the church. And it can't be something, it has to be the church, because if it's just a group of people that I gather around myself, well, as soon as things get difficult, I can just bail and leave.
Yeah.
But I can't leave my local church. If I try to leave, you all will track me down, you know, and if I'm in sin, you're going to confront me and you're going to discipline me. And I know that.
Yeah. And it's been so encouraging to see just people come to Hinson since, you know, you guys have arrived, since we've arrived, and be asking for that kind of accountability, that they might be transformed more and more into Christ-likeness.
Yes. Yeah. It's an uncomfortable accountability, isn't it? It's not something that we love to, you know, but it's something we know we need.
Yeah.
And when we see it working well, then we want more of it.
That's right. That's right. Which is almost like just sanctification or being transformed into Christ likeness in miniature.
Yes.
You know, just like one of the small implications of it. Well, Adrian, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. I know I was encouraged. And thank you for your ministry among us and your ministry to your family.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.